that he's going to turn out, even though now he's only an Uber, he's not born yet, it's prohibited to be mitame a fetus if ultimately it's going to turn out that he will be born, he will be a bar kayom. But it's going to turn out, he's going to be an Eifel, then there's no issa to be mitame him. So the Mogen Avraham in Hilchas Shabbos, there's a sim in Shin Mem Gimel about chinuch habonim, how to be mechanach children in Hilchas Shabbos. Whether only the parents have to be mechanach, or even strangers also have to see to it that Jewish children are not mechal Shabbos. So Simon Shin Mem Gimel, the Mogen Avraham, lived after the Shach. So the Mogen Avraham quotes that Shach from the end of Yerideya, and he says he doesn't understand the Rekeach. Why did he have to come on to this new reason that it's a Svek Sveke, Machzah Schar, Machzah Nekevis, it's 50-50 whether it's a boy or a girl. And even if it turns out that it is a boy, Miut Mapiloi, some of the women lose the baby before it's born, so it's not really a Svek Sveke, it means it's a Rife. Svek Sveke is like Rife, 50-50 whether A or B, and even if it's B, maybe it's C, maybe it's D. So he uses the Rekech, uses the expression Svek Sveke to imply that it's a Rife. So here, Machzah Schar, Machzah Nekevis, 50-50 whether it's a baby boy or baby girl, and even if it's a baby boy, may turn out Miut Mapiloi. So the Mogen Avraham asks, what does he need that reasoning? He should have said based on the Mishnah is here in the fourth parak in Chulin, that we paskin, the Gemara quotes it, some acholiks of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rashi quoted it right away here. He was the Rashi on the top of Ayin on the base, the second line from the top. Rashi, even according to Rabbi Kiva, says later on Ayin base on Manal, that's what we're going to get to. The Gemara quotes, this is a machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And usually, whenever there's a machlekes Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmuel, halachik Rabbi Kiva mechaveiro, whenever he disagrees with a contemporary of his, if the rabbim disagree with Rabbi Kiva, then we say halachik Rabbi Kiva mechaveiro v'lo mechaveirov. If it's the rabbim disagreeing with Rabbi Kiva, we pass like against Rabbi Kiva. Here it's Rabbi Kiva against Rabbi Shmuel. So we should have passed like Rabbi Kiva, and we really don't. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that Tahara Belua can be Tomei, and we pass like Rabbi Shmuel. Tahara Belua can't become Tomei, and if the Uber is inside the mother's body, Tuma Belua is not Metamei, doesn't transmit the Tuma. The Gemara is going to give different examples of Belua. Belua means if the fetus is dead inside the womb of the mother by behem or by a human being, that's called Tuma Belua, Tahara Belua. Let's say a woman goes to a funeral and she's pregnant. She becomes tummy, but the fetus inside is not affected. The fetus is tahara b'lua. He's not mekabel tuma. Let's say the doctor ascertained that the fetus is no longer breathing. The fetus is no heartbeat. The woman is carrying a dead baby. So can her husband stay in the house? The husband is a kohen. Is not allowed to be metami to an eifel. He's not allowed to be metami to an eifel. So the din is a tuma b'lua is not metami. When the fetus will come out, when it will come out of the mother's body, then it will be metami ba'ohel. But kozman is inside the rechem, so tuma blua doesn't cause tuma to go out. And tara blua is not mekabel tuma. If she's going to go to a funeral, the uber inside won't be mekabel tuma. So this is the Mogen Avraham's kasha in Hilchas Shabbos in Sim Mishim Mem Gimel. In Orachaim, he asked the kasha, why did the Shach quote from the Rabbein Yeruchim, from the Rekech? Why did the Shach quote the Rekech? Was one of the Bali Atesis, later Bali Atesis. Why does he say the reason why Eishes Kaimu Beres is permitted to attend the funeral is because the Reiv is that it's not going to be a Zohar Bar Kayama? He should have said, even if it will be a Zohar Bar Kayama, the baby is not Mekabotum. So that's what we mentioned. Rabbi Chana Vassaman and Rabbi Chaim Oiza were brothers in law, they married two sisters, so they both gave him the same. They both gave the same interpretation that Rabbi Yeruchim. Apparently, he's of the opinion, a chiddush, that even on the chumash, the expression used in the beginning of Parshas Amor is that the kohen is not allowed to be metame lemeisim nefesh leitame biyamov. It's not really. It doesn't really depend on being mekabel tuma. The din is a kohen is not allowed to come in contact with the meis, even if he comes in contact with the meis in such a way that it doesn't cause him to become tuma. So even though there's a stunt over here, that the fetus inside the mother's body is tara belua, so he's not mekabel tuma, but still if he's in the same room with the mace, he goes to the funeral, the mother goes to the funeral, she takes the Uber with her, so you've brought the kohen into the oil mace, that's considered coming in contact with the mace. So it's a chiddush. You're not allowed to come in contact with the mace, even if it's not going to cause the kohen to become tuma.
Same thing with the wife with the dead fetus and the Kohen, according to that, would not be allowed to be in the same home according to that Svara?
It ought to be. That's it. It ought to be like that. Unless you say that's the shot, unless you're going to say that Tuma Blua is Kamisha Eino. So why should you say that? Why shouldn't you say the same on Tara Blua? I don't know. So if the wife knows that she's carrying a dead fetus, so the husband shouldn't be allowed to be in the same house.
As long as he doesn't know.
No, let's say he doesn't know. The wife tells him. She went to the doctor. The doctor said that there's no heartbeat. The baby has no heartbeat. The baby's dead. So do you say the husband is not allowed to be in the oil amase, even though Tuma Blua is not metame? You say no. Tuma Blua is Kemisha Eino. Why should he say Tuma Blua is Kemisha Eino? I don't know.
Why is there? Shouldn't over here, can you make some difference over here? If the Uber is attached to the mother, then some of the mother should be tummy also.
If you say Uber Yerachimo, so what should they?
They're the same goof.
So therefore.
So if there's one of them tummy, the other tummy.
The mother's alive. You can't say the mother's dead. No, but you want to say the mother is a mace. The
no,
mother's a
not.
Mace. Let's say a person has if you cut off Eid Menachai, so Eid Menachai is metame also like a mace. But let's say a person has a gangrenous arm, there's no blood circulating, so you're going to say that he's tame. I don't think so. It's not yet an Eid Menachai. It's still attached to the person who's alive. Person is alive, and the arm, even though it's there's no hard blood circulation, but the arm is attached to the chai, so that's not called an Eid Menachai. Here also, we don't consider. I think forget if you say Ke'evim Eberav, you're going to say the Gemara has a machlekes, and it's a question how we paskin. Machlekes the Ri and the Rabbi Natan. How do we paskin? Ubi Yerachim Ubi Lav Yerachim. So I would have thought if he all do but Yerachima, so there's more cause to say that we disregard the fact that the Uber is dead. The Uber is part of the mother. The mother's alive, so I should say the Uber is considered alive. If you say Uber Lav Yerachima, they say there's a mace and there's a woman, they're two different goofim. Yeah, yeah. So that's what we left off in the middle of this discussion. So we left off in the wide lines on Ayin Amud Beis, about eight lines in halfway through the wide lines. The line begins with the word Likid de Rebbe Hudiyosa, Kamash Malan. So on that line, that Daf Ayin Amud Beis, middle of that line, the Gemara quotes a brisa, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yonason, these were Tanoim. Rabbi Yonason was a Tana who learned by Rabbi Yishmael. And he carried on a conversation with Ben Azai. Amar Rabbi Yonason, Namti, I had a conversation, I spoke to Ben Azai, and I asked him the following question. When you look in the Chumash, Vayikra, so the din is there Ishmael Shwatz Mahamur Matur. There are eight rodents that are mentioned in the Chumash, and the Chumash says if they're dead, if the mouse is alive, Achbar is one of them. So if the mouse is alive, it's not metame. But if the mouse is dead, then it's metame b'maga if you touch it. If you're wearing gloves and you're not touching it, even though you're carrying it like this, that's called masa. A dead chair is not metame b'masa, only metame b'maga. If you have a dead animal, a horse dies or a cow dies, if you shecht the cow, it has no tumah. It's not called tumas nevelus. But if you didn't shecht it, it died a natural death. Or you shecht it, you did an improper shechita, so you made it in a nevela, so then it's metame. So nivelas behema, a chaya, is metame b'maga u'b'masa, but not metame b'ohel. And a mace adam, a human being who dies, at least if a Jewish person dies, so that is metame b'maga b'masa u'b'ohel. And if it's a non-Jew who dies, that's a machlekes harishayim, machlekes atanayim, machlekes harishayim out of paskin. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is of the opinion that meisei akam not metami ba'ohel, only meisei yisrael. And it's a question whether we paskin like that. But the meisei akam not metami b'magav masa, that for sure. And if you become tami to a meis akum or to meis yisrael, you have to have hazosh lishishvi. You can't usually when a person is tami, he goes to the mikveh and it becomes tohar. But if a person is tummy tumas meis, first he has to have somebody sprinkle paraduma water on him, on shlishi shvi, and then he's erst able to go to the mikveh to become tohar. So if you look in the psukim, this is what Rabbi Yonason raised an issue to Ben Azai. If you look in the psukim Chumash, it mentions three dead animals on metame. Labmadnu nivlas behema tohar, that's beferish. If a cow drops dead, it's metame. Nivlas behema tameo shem metame. what's a behemoth tamei? A horse dies. A horse dies is metame. Nivlas chaya tamei shemetama. What's a chaya? I don't know. A chaya tamei. An elephant. Chaya. Nivlas chaya tahor lolamadnu. There's no pasuk in Chumash. Very strange. Rashi quotes all the pasukim. The first three have mefurish, and the fourth one doesn't say in Chumash. The din is exactly the same. Whether it's behema or chaya, whether it's tahor or tamei, if it died a natural death, shechita doesn't help on an elephant. Shechita doesn't help on a horse and a donkey. So it's always going to be nivlas behema tamei, nivlas chaya tamei. On a behema tahora, chaya tahora. If he shechted, it won't be an avail. If he didn't shechted, it has a natural death, then it'll be metam. So he asks nivlas chaya tahora lo lamadna. There's no pasuk b'feri. So the question is minayin. What is the makar? Yes, and what's the makar for that din? The din certainly is true that nivlas chaya tahora is metame. Namli. So Ben Azai answered me, answers Rabbi Yonason, the pasuk has the word kol. So kol is a ribui. So even though it only says three animals, it doesn't say the fourth one is missing. The nivlas chaya tahora is missing. Since it says kol halach al kapov, b'chol achay halaches, so the word kol is marbe, even though the chumash doesn't say explicitly nivlas chaya tahora, but the word kol is marbe. Namti lo, so I responded back to Ben Azai, it's not a good drasha. It v'chinema, does it say v'chol chaya? Does it say v'chol chaya that's dead? It doesn't say kol next to the word chaya. V'alo l'anema v'chol chaya v'chol ha'chaya. It says the simple reading of the pasuk Rashi quotes from the previous Gemara on this omen. It sounds like it's talking about a dead fetus inside an animal. Inside a living animal. Nivlas behema b'chol ha'chaya ha'alechas al kapov. L'mahalche kapayim b'chaya hu diosa. The pasuk goes, if you have a fetus that's dead inside a live animal, but the word kol is not talking about kol ha'chaya. It can't be marbur from the word kol. Nivlas chaya tor. Nom li, so Ben Azai said, nu, genius, you're learned by Rabbi Shmuel, so what does Mr. Yishmael have to say about this? He calls him by his first name. My Yishmael, I'm a B'davah. What does your Rebbe have to say? He's not too respectful, because he apparently learned by Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai learned by Rabbi Akiva. He married Rabbi Akiva's daughter. Yeah, but he learned by Rabbi Akiva. He said, My Yishmael, I'm a B'davah. So namti lost. I told him what Rabbi Shmuel said. So he says, oh boy, look what I'm missing. So he tells him, namti lost. I told him the drasha of Rabbi Shmuel. The pasuk says, "V'chiyomis menabeima shehilochem liochlo." The pasuk says in Chumash, if a behema dies and it's muta b'achila, but you didn't shecht it, it would have been muta b'achila if you would have shecht it. If an animal dies, and then it says, whoever touches it, whoever carries it, it's metame b'maga u'b'masa. It's metame maga even if you don't move it, metame b'masa if you move it like this, if you pick it up, metame b'maga u'b'masa. So the pasuk starts off, "V'chiyomis menabeima." If that's all it would say. So it would imply both a behema Torah and a behema Tmeya. So that's why Rabbi Shmuel comments with Yamas Menabehema, it would have included both behema Torah and behema Tmeya, Zu behema Tmeya. But then the pasuk continues, Shehilachem liyochlo Zu behema Torah. So you see from this pasuk, Lamadnu, and the pasuk says that behema Tmeya, behema Torah, they're both metame when they're dead. And we have a klal Lamadnu chaya bechlal behema, behema bechlal chaya. Rashi and Chumash quotes that more than once, that when it says in Chumash, there are differences la'alocha, we're learning Chumash, there are differences la'alocha between behem and chaya, several differences. One difference is, also as beno, you're not allowed to shecht on the same day, only applies to behem, it doesn't apply to chaya, it doesn't apply to oifas. Then the din that chaylev is also only applies to behem, it doesn't apply to chaya. And kisei adam only applies to chaya, it doesn't apply to behem. How do you determine whether any given animal is a behem or a chaya? So the Gemara says in the Yeridei Kodesh, you have to determine based on the shape of the horns, the way they're curving. So that's what the Shach says, that when Atzot Bikim, to figure out what the shape of the horns is supposed to be, to determine whether it's Behem or Chaya. So it's not, that's the Shach says, the meaning in Vilna. Shach lived in Vilna in the 1600s, so they had to run away because of the Chemonitsky riots, they all had to run away. So the Shach writes that the meaning in Vilna was that you don't eat chaylev of a chaya unless you have a tradition that this is a chaya. A deer, we have a tradition that deer is a chaya. It's not a behemoth. So chaylev chaya is muta b'achila. The exact same chelev that in a behemah would be an isa karis, in a chayah it's hefigomer, it's permissible. So the shach says, since it's not so easy to determine with any given animal's behemah or a chayah, so the meaning is we only eat chelev chayah if you have a tradition that it's a chayah. We don't rely on our own judgment to determine that it's a chayah as opposed to a behemah. That's the shach that the Chochmas Sodom also lived in Vilna later. The Shach lived in the Vilna in the 1600s, 1660s. He ran away when the Chemalnitsky riots were tafetat, and then the Chayodim Chachmas Sodom lived 100 years later. He was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. He was a younger contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. So the Chayodim writes that the meaning in Vilna, based on Nishach, meaning in Vilna is you don't eat any animal unless you have a tradition that it's kosher. You don't rely on your own judgment that it's malager mafis parsa. That's not what the Shach said. The Shach said you don't eat the chelev of an animal assuming that it's a chaya, unless you have a tradition that it's a chaya, because you could be violating an Issa Karis over here. The Chochmas Sodom writes a different minig. So that was the issue in Eretz Yisrael, soon after Hakamas HaMedina, that the Litvakas used to follow everything that it says in the Chayodim, Chochmas Sodom, like the Bible. Everything that says a chayod. So the Chayodim comes up with this chumr, that you don't eat any animal unless you have a tradition. Why? Because the Gemara tells a story that they once made a mistake. They thought that a certain animal was malager mafis parsa, and they realized that they made a mistake. It wasn't. So it's possible to make a mistake. They made a mistake, and we mentioned, made a mistake in recent years. There's a certain animal in the African jungles that they thought it had malager, and then they realized it wasn't malager. It was a mistake for quite a few years, for several decades. The big scientific experts in the world made a mistake. So the Gemara has a klal. Usually when the Chumash has the word chaya, it includes behema, and when the Chumash has the word behema, it includes chaya also. Sometimes it's not so. It's not always the case. The din is that kisa adam is only on chaya, not on behema. Chelev is only osir on a behema, not osir on a chaya. You don't say chay b'chlal behema, so the chelev of the chaya is also osir. Osir has been only by behema, not by chaya. There are differences between chaya and behema. But if you don't know one way or the other, so you assume behemah is included, and chay is included in behemah. So since you had the what was missing, the three of the cases were written. The one case that was missing was nivlas chaya tahora. Never says explicitly nivla. If a deer drops dead, nivlas chaya tahora, it dies. You never shechted it. So that doesn't say beferish that it's metame. So Rabbi Shmuel said it doesn't have to say beferish since the pasuk says. Whether behemah Torah, behemah Tameah, that it dies, is metameh, b'mago, b'masa, and chayah is b'chlal behemah, so they are shy. So it doesn't have to say everything explicitly. Chayah is b'chlal behemah. So that was the mocker, that's what Rabbi Yonason tells over to Ben Azai, I learned by Rabbi Shmuel, and this is the mocker that he said. And he says, Lamadna, we have a tradition, the second line from the bottom, Lamadna chayah b'chlal behemah, behemah b'chlal chayah. When the Chumash writes the word Chaya, it includes sometimes Behemah as well. Not always, but usually it does. When it says the word Chaya, when it says the word Behemah, it means Chaya as well. So therefore, Chaya Tahora is included in Behemah Torah. Chaya Tmeya is included in Bechlal Behemah Tmeya. And Behemah Tmeya is included in Bechlal Chaya Tmeya. Behemah Torah is included in Bechlal Chaya Torah. What did Tana have to mention? Four different things. So the Gemara is going to explain. There are four halachas that are based on these four statements. That when it says Behemah Tahora, it includes also Behemah Tmeya. It says behemah tmei and includes also behemah Torah. Behemah includes chaya, chaya includes behemah. So he was so excited. Ubaloshen azeh omali. So when Rabbi Yonason told over this mocker to Ben Azai, who had learned by Rabbi Akiva, he said Ashod chavala Ben Azai arachmanas amish lo yishimesh is Rabbi Shmuel. Ashod that I missed out. I learned all the time by Rabbi Akiva. I never learned by Rabbi Shmuel. I would have heard this Gibaldig Adrasha, this comment from Rabbi Shmuel, the mocker for that din, because he thought the mocker is from the word kol. Kol is marbe, the missing case, the one case that's missing, the nivlas chaya tahira. So he says, no, it's a better mocker. This pas. Chaval al benazai ashod rachmanas amish lo shimish is Rabbi Shmuel. So now the Gemara is going to explain, how do you know that chay b'chlal behema? Chay b'chlal behema minolam. Where do you have a pasuk in Chumash that indicates that dichsib? Rashi and Chumash, I think, quotes this. Dichsib, zos ha-behema she-tochelu. The following, behemas may be eaten. And it's a shor, sek, sofim, sayism, ayol tzvivi achmur. Ayol tzvivi achmur achayis. They're not behemas. And the pasuk begins, zos ha-behema she-tochelu. And it switches all of a sudden into chay. Okay, so what do you see? Chayas b'chlal behema. When the Chumash says, So Sabema Shetachelu Chai is included, unless he's see beferish otherwise. So here it's included. Where do you have a mocker, the behema bechlal chayo? So he says, such a similar pasuk. So it says to determine whether any given chaya is a kosher animal or not, called mafresh parsa. If it's malager mafresh parsa, that din only applies to chayas. No, it applies to behemoth as well. Okay, it said it must be because behemoth bechalal chaya. It's included when the parsha begins zosa chaya shetochlu, and then it says mikol habema. It says the next word is mikol habema. So you see, the behemoth is included in the chayim. So now the Gemara is going to say, "Lamai nafkemina halacha lamaisa." What's the halachic relevance of saying when the Chumash writes stoma chayim, it includes behemoth, when it writes behemoth, it includes chayim? So the Gemara is going to spell it chayim. Yeah. What do they say? Chayim tohara bichlal behemoth tohara lisimonim. To determine whether any given animal is kosher. So you have to have malager mafis parsis, even though the Chumash only says it by behema. Zos habema she'tochlu malager mafis parsa. The same dinim apply to chaya as well, because chaya bechal behem. Then we say chaya tameh bechal behem tameh with respect to what lehar bo'o. The pasuk says you're not allowed to crossbreed two different animals. Azorcha nekeva from the same family you may. That's muta. But to make a hybrid of two different types of animals, you're not allowed to. So the pasuk uses the lashon behem tocho lo sabia klein. And only says behem tocho. Does it didn't only apply to behemoth? So he says no, chay is included. So chay b'chal behemoth b'negia to the din of harbor, that you're not allowed to crossbreed from one man to the other. Behemoth tameya is b'chal chay tameya the ma'inaf kemina. What's the halachic relevance for that? So the gemara l'kid the rebbe, because rebbe has a whole brisa. The Gemara before Elul, before Pesach, we learned the Gemara before this. See the line that we started with tonight, Lekid the Rebbe, who also Kamash Malon. So the Gemara alluded to the Drosha of Rebbe. So now the Gemara is going to quote the Brisa. The Brisa speaks about the different korbanos that you're mechuyev to bring. When a person sometimes does an Avera, so sometimes you're mechuyev to bring a Chata, sometimes you're mechuyev to bring an Osham. So a chatos, you have to pay a lot of money to bring a chatos. So sometimes you have a chatos early b'yor. It means the price goes up, the price goes down, depending how much you can afford. So there are three specific averas that are mentioned in Parshas Vayikra that you bring a chatos early b'yor. Early b'yor means if you can afford it, you bring a chatos behema. If you can't afford it, you bring a chatos oif and an oilas oif. And if you can't even afford that, then you bring a minchas choyte. You bring a mincha. What are the three averis? So two of them are very clear, and the third one is unclear. One of them is Shavuos Ha'edus. Reuben and Shimon have a din Torah. Reuben says that Shimon owes him a fortune of money, and then he comes to two of us, and he says, Bo v'heiduni, come and testify on my behalf. You were there when I lent them the money. We don't want to get involved in their hassle. We don't want to have a headache. So we say, we don't know anything about the case. We come to Bez and we say, sorry, we can't help you. We weren't there, we don't know anything about it. Then later on they admit that they swore falsely in front of Bezin. They really did know, because they swore in front of Bezin, ain't on the Yodim L'chaedus, so they were mafsid the Baldin, because they can't give a testimony now. They say, Kim Shehigit, Shuvin Chayzer Magid. Since once you said in Bezin, ain't on the Yodim L'chaedus, we don't know anything about the case, Bezin will not listen to what you're going to say later. I changed my mind, I do remember the story, and I told a lie before. So Bezin's not going to listen. So we were mafsid the fella money because we swore falsely. We violated the din im la yagid v'nasavayna. We swore falsely. We mafsid the money. So the Torah says that's one of the three averis that you bring a chatas or labiyari. Then another averis is shvuas bitoy. Person took the shvuas, is not going to eat potato chips, and then he forgot all about it. Goes and he eats the potato chips. Nefesh kishishav alavate b'svasayim is called shvuas bitoy. Good. Then the third one. It says if a person is Tomei, he did an Avera and he has to have a Kapur. What do you mean? Person's Tomei did an Avera. He's not allowed to go to a funeral. People are Tomei. Says he touched a dead animal, he touched a dead person. So what's the Avera? So it doesn't say what Avera he did. So Rabbi Yudan Nasi is called Rabbi. So Rabbi Yudan Nasi is going to establish yet the Avera that he did was, that's how the Mishnah calls it, Tumas Migdash V'Kadoshev, he was Tomei, and he entered the Beis HaMigdash, V'Nalamimenu, he forgot all about the Tumah, and he entered the Beis HaMigdash by mistake, or he forgot all about the Tumah, and he ate Korbanos by mistake. So to enter the Beis HaMigdash, B'Tumah is an Issa Koris. So the Torah says, by the third parsha, the third avera for which Yechayv Chatas Olav Yored, that's Antumas Migdash V'Kadosh. So that's the Tanya, Rabbi Amer. How does he know? The Pasuk just says, if the fellow's tamei, he forgot all about it. And that's the avera. So what avera did he do? He's tamei, so what's the avera to become tamei? So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, and that parsha, when it says that the fellow's tamei, parsha is Vayikra, when it says the fellow's tamei, it says he touched a chaya, a dead chaya, or he came in contact with a dead behemoth. So Rebbe says, why does it have to say he came in contact with either a dead chaya or a dead behemoth? Ekrani chaya. Let the chumash, the mikra, mikra is chumash. Tanakh is called mikra. Ekrani chaya. Let the chumash only write the word chaya. The fellow came in contact with a dead chaya. Why does it have to say came chaya, niblas chaya, of niblas behemoth tmeya? Let it just say niblas chaya tmeya. And behemoth is bechlal chaya. So what do you need the next phrase in the Chumash? He came in contact with either Nivlas Chaya Tmeim or Nivlas Behemah Tmeim. The whole phrase is Miyuter. Behemah Lama Nemra. Why does the Chumash have to write Ob Nivlas Behemah Tmeim? The answer is, it's needed for Gzera Shova. Nemra Kan Behemah Tmeim. The phrase appears over here that he came in contact with the Behemah Tmeim. It's unnecessary. Once it says he came in contact with Nivlas Chaya Tmeim, Behemah Bechlal Chaya. So Behemah Tmeim would be included. So it's needed for Xereshav. Xereshav is like if you have an asterisk on top of the page and you look on the bottom of the page and they tell you what the footnote is over here. So in the Chumash you have a word over here and a word over there in a different Chumash. This is in Bereshis and this is Shmos. Different Chumashim, so we assume that there's a connection between the two. But where is there an asterisk over here? So if the word is Meyutar, if the word isn't really necessary, so that's called mufna. If the word is panui, panui means it's miyuter, and the pasuk would read perfectly without that word. So it's as if you have an asterisk over here, an asterisk over there. So if it's mufna mishnei tzadim, if the word is miyuter in both places, that's the top level of exereshav. If the word is only miyuter, mufna mitzad echad, the word is miyuter, it says halach halach in two different psukim. So if the word is miyuter in one place and it's not miyuter in the other place, it really needed for the context. So then it's a weaker gzereshava. The Gemara says lemeidim or mishivim. You can darshan gzereshava, but if you have a strong tine against the gzereshava, then you reject it. If it's gzereshava mufna mishnei tzadim, if the word is miyuter in both psukim, then it's the best gzereshava lemeidim and mishivim. So this is what Rabbi says. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says. The pasuk by Tumas Migdash v'Kadosh, it says if the fellow's tamei and he did an aver, what aver did he do? It doesn't explain what's the aver to become tamei. So it says he came in contact with nivlas chayat tamei, or he came in contact with nivlas behemah tamei. So why does it ekra ni chaya? What does it have to say behemah lamanem? What does it have to say that for behemah is bechlal chaya? The answer is that it should be the whole phrase should be miyuta, it should be gzereshav mufna. So Nemar Kan Behemah Tmeya, the phrase appears here, Miyutav, and Nemar Lahalon, in a different Pasuk, Rashi writes over here, Parshas Tzav, and another Pasuk it mentions Behemah Tmeya, and there it's talking about a person who's Tameh because he came in contact with Nivlas, Behemah Tmeya shouldn't eat Karbonis, shouldn't enter the base of Migdash, shouldn't eat Karbonis. So just like over there where the phrase appears, Nivlas Behemah Tmeya, the context is Malahalon, Tumas Kodesh, it's talking about you became Tomei and you want to eat Karbonis, Afkan, in this parsha of Chatas Olav Yored, it's also talking about Tumas Kodesh. Means he was Tomei and he either entered the Beis HaMikdash by mistake, Vinala Mimeno, or he ate Karbonis, Vinala Mimeno. So that was Rebbe's drasha. That's how Rebbe established what is the third Averit. It's so unclear in the Chumash. By us, it's, everybody knows that. There are three Averits which you have Chatas Olav Yored. This is the Chatzis Olav Yored, you can bring either Bashiris or Bedalos or Bedalidals. There are two other Olav Yoreds that have nothing to do, not really with Kaporah and Avera. When a woman gives birth to a baby, when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, my wife will have to bring 9 sets of Karbonis, because she had 9 babies. Every time you have a baby, if you have twins, you only have to bring 1 set. It's cheaper by the dozen. If you have a few at a time, you only have to bring 1 set of Karbonis. But if you had 9 separate pregnancies, you have to bring 9 sets of Karbonis. So there the Torah gives Ashiris and Dalis. If you can afford it, you bring more expensive. If you can't afford that, you bring less expensive. There is no Dali Dalis there. And then there's a third parsha also where there's Ashiris and Dalas. There is no Dali Dalas. That's by the Mitzor who becomes Tohar. When the Mitzor, when the Tzaras is healed on his body, and he wants the Kohen to declare that he's Tohar, so he has to go to the mikveh, but that's not enough. He has to bring special karbonis. So what if he can't afford such expensive karbonis? And the Torah gives you a break. If he can afford it, he brings Bashiris. If he can't afford that, he brings Bedalas. There is no Dali Dalas. But the Ashiris and Dalas. And the only time you have the three Ashiris, Dalas, Dali, Dalas, that's in Parshas Vayikra, by these three specific others, by Shvuas Bitoy Nefesh, Kisushova Levati Bisvasayim. He pronounced with his lips the Shvuah not to eat potato chips, not to eat cookies, not to eat fattening foods, whatever. And he forgot and he violated. And Shvuas Ha'edus, when the Edom swore falsely in front of Bezin, Shvuah She'en on the Yadim Ha'edus, so they were mopsed the fellow money. If he has another two Edom, they weren't mopsing him money, so the other two Edom will come. These are the only two Edom who can help him win his din Torah. And they swore falsely in front of Bezin, Shvuah She'en Yodim L'Chaydus. And the third one, the third Avera is unclear. He said he became Tommy. What happened? Becoming Tommy per se is not an Avera. So that's Vinevam, and he forgot about the Tumah. So what did he do? So Rabbi Yudan Nasi learns that from Gzer Shabbat, the word Behemot Tmeya says over here, Behemot Tmeya says over there, Parshas Tzav, Zamala Halon, Tumas Kodesh, Avkam Tumas Kodesh.
Why can't you say by becoming Tameh it refers to a Kohen who is not supposed to be Tameh?
The Kohen, that's a very good question, but the Halacha Lamaise, we know the answer. The Halacha is that the Kohen is not allowed to come in contact only with a mace. The Kohen may come in contact with a dead carcass of an animal. Other Tumas he may come in contact with. Let's say they're going to dissect a mouse. So the Kohen can attend such a class. He will become Tami. And the Pasuk says, he became Tami with Nivlas Behemetmeh, Nivlas Chayetmeh. A Kohen is allowed to do that. There is a, Rav Soloveitchik said he once attended a bris, and Shaul Lieberman was there at the same time. So Shaul Lieberman mentioned to him, maybe it must have been the Parsha Sashavua or something, said he mentioned that there's a Ksav Yad from one of the Chuvas Hagayim that Kohanim are not allowed to come in contact with a dead Sheretz. Or a dead nevela. So what do you say about that? So he said, my grandfather knew how to learn most of them, better than most of the Goyim. Mm-hmm. He said, a lot of the Goyim, the name of the yeshiva was Goyim Yankov. So the president was the fundraiser. So the president of the yeshiva was known as Rosh Yeshiva's Goyim Yankov. So it's a long title. Rosh Yeshiva said, he called him Bekitzer Goyim. But a Goyim doesn't mean he's a Goyim, doesn't mean a Goyim today means a big Tamachot. The famous ones were learned, Rav Sadi Goyen, Rav Hai Goyen, Rav Shreiri Goyen. There were some of them were very famous. The one who wrote this tshuva was one of the less famous Goyen. He was the president, he was the fundraiser. Not every Goyen was the Talmid Chacham. So he said the Goyen made a mistake. Rav Soloveitchik wasn't so taken by the kasha. It didn't bother him. It wasn't from Rav Shreiri Goyen or Rav Hai Goyen, this tshuva. One of the lower levels of the Goyen wrote this tshuva. So then the Gemara is just filling in the information. We said there were four things. The four were sometimes Behemoth Tmei is included in a Chaya Tmei, sometimes Chaya Tmei is included in Behemoth Tmei, sometimes Behemoth Torah is included in a Chaya Torah, sometimes Chaya Torah is included in Behemoth Tmei. The Chumash says one, and it includes the other one also. Sometimes there are differences, like we said, Kisi Adam, Osu Ezbenai, and Achelov, there are differences, Lahaloche. And Zerola Chayayim Vakevis also only applies to Behemoth, doesn't apply to Chayim. When you Shech the Chayim, there's no obligation to give Matnas Kuna, to give Zerola Chayayim Vakevis, only when you Shech Behemoth. And here the Gemara says, Behemoth is Bechlal Chayim, Chayim is Bechlal Behemoth. So, but again, to what do you say that, what does the Gemara say? Behemoth Torah, Bechlal Chayim Torah, which halacha do we learn out from that? Zog, the Gemara li Yitzira, what's it does? This not. The Chumash has a din in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. If a woman gives birth to a baby, even if it's a stillborn child, if it was a pregnancy where there's a Tzuras Havlat, if the pregnancy was less than 40 days, then there's no Tzuras Havlat. Tzuras Havlat starts to develop around the 43rd, 44th day. It's a teeny weeny shape, it's just an inch by an inch, but you already see a little bit of Tzuras Havlat. So if the woman gives birth to a baby, even if it's a stillborn baby, so there's a din of Tumas Yoleda, she's Temeya, if it's a Zohar, if it's a baby boy, so she's Temeya for 7 days, Kimei Nidas Tavoisa Titma, and then the next 33 days is Yimei Tohar. Even if she has Dam, it doesn't cause her to become a Nida. And the first 7 days she's tamei, even if it's what Gemara calls a lady of Eshli, even if it's a dry birth that there was no dam at all. It's physically impossible. How can I have a lady of Eshta? When the baby comes out, it's ripping out from the lining of the rechem. So when you rip out from the lining, of course there's going to be dam. It's going to be dam. That's called dam anida. That's dam anida is not only when it's menstruation. Any dam that rips out from the lining, that sheds from the endometrial lining, whatever you call it. So that's dam anida. But the Gemara says, even theoretically, even if there would have been such a thing, there's a whole bucket full of dam there whenever an Isha gives birth to a baby. But even if theoretically it would have been a lady of Eshta, no dam at all, she would have been Tameya anyway. So the Tanoim have a machlekes in Perek HaMapelis, that's the name of a Perek Anita. They have a machlekes, what if the woman gave birth to a baby, Vitzuris Behema Chai Biof? It doesn't have the shape of a human being at all. If the baby is born missing a leg, missing a nose, missing an eye, or something like that, so a baby is a baby. So it's a tumas yoledes. But if she gives birth to a vlad, hamapelas min behem chay biyof. It's not at all a tzuras odom. So it's a machlekes hatanoim. So the Mishnah says bein tmein bein tahorim. Whether it looks like a cow or it looks like a horse, the din is it's a vlad. Im zochet teishav lezochem nekevet teishav lekevet. If it's a male horse, or it's a male cow, so she has 7 days of tumah, even if there's lady of Eshta, and there are 33 days of Yimei Tor. In the cave, Teshuv in the cave. If it's a female cow, or a female elephant, or a female horse, whatever it came out, and such a mutation, it doesn't look at all like Tzuras Adam. So Teshuv in the cave, it has all the dinim of in the cave. She's tumah for 14 days, even if it happened to be a lady of Eshta, and then the next 66 days, she'll be Tahura, even if there will be Dam, she'll be Tahura. That's the malos for a zacher is 40 days, malos for a nekeva is 80 days. What if she gave birth to this thing? Any odua, she doesn't know when it came out. It was in the shape of a horse, so they threw it out. They got rid of it right away. They didn't even bother to look to see whether it's a zacher or a nekeva. So if it's any odua, you don't know whether this animal that came out, it's suras beim b'chai v'yoyf. Any odua, you don't know whether it's a zacher or a nekeva, so what do you do? Teishu lezacher vilanekeva. You have to go lechumer in both directions. So Rashi explains. Sofik derasi lechumer. Maybe it was in a keva, so she's tameya for 14 days. But you don't say the next 66 days as yimei tohar, because that's already a kula. In the mesupik, maybe it was a zacher, maybe it wasn't in a keva. So she's tameya for 14 days, and then she only has dam tohar for another 26 days till the end of 40 days. Because the malos for a zohar is 40 days. So if you would have known for sure that it's a zohar, so she would only be tameya for the first 7 days, she could have gone to mikveh after the 7 days. She would have been tohar the next 33 days, even if there would have been dam. That's called dam tohar. But we didn't know whether it's a zohar nekeva, so we had to be machmir, sofik deras elichum, we had to be machmir, that she's tameya for 14 days, maybe it was in a keva, then the dam that she'll have in the next 26 days will be tar. That's all. You can't be mekal on the dam in the next 40 days. Maybe it was really a zoch, maybe it wasn't a keva. So that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Meir says, even though the vlad was born, it didn't have a tzuras odom, that tzuras beim chai v'yoyif, so Rav Meir's opinion is that it's still called a leidah. And the Chachamim did disagree. There's a discussion in Achrayim, is there an Issa Ritzicha on such the woman gave birth to a baby. So this, let's say a woman gives birth to a baby and it's deformed, mongoloid, whatever. But it's a human being, so of course there's an Issa Ritzicha. You're not allowed to do mercy killing, have Rachmanis on the mother, have Rachmanis on the baby, or whatever. The baby is suffering. You're not allowed to do mercy killing. You let it die by itself, you're not allowed to kill it. It's what if over here, the woman gives birth to something that's Tzuras Behema Chai V'yoyif? Is there an Issa lo Sirtzach on such a thing? So that's that should have been a discussion in the Gemara, but it's not. That's a discussion in the Pischei Tshuva and Yeridei Hilchas Nida. And the Tanoim don't discuss, they only discuss, is it called a Leido to be Mitambi the mother? The Chachamim Amar, Kol Sheini Mitzuras Adamein Ovlad. That's the Machlokes here. So the Gemara says, how does Rav Meir come upon this idea? How does Rav Meir know, where did he derive his opinion from? That if the woman gave birth to a vlad, that's not b'tzuras b'nei odom at all, it's b'tzuras b'nei mechai v'yoif, that it's also called a leida, because in Chumash, it says, v'yitzah Hashem alakim es ha'odom ofer min adama, the verb yitzira appears with respect to odom, v'yitzah Hashem alakim es ha'odom, and the word yitzira appears in the Chumash with respect to creation of all of the b'nei mechai v'yoif. So that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara introduced, that Behemah Tor Bechal Chaya Tohoro Li Yitzira, because the Pasuk in Bereishis, where the verb Yitzira appears, only says it by the Chayas. It never says it by Behemoth. So we're saying the verb Yitzira, Vayitzar Shamakim Esa Adam, the verb Yitzira appears by creation of Adam. Then the verb Yitzira appears in creation of Chaya. Never really says it by Behemoth. But we say Behemoth is included in Chaya. So since the verb Yitzira appears in Parshas Bereishis in connection with Chaya, so we say Behemoth Bechlal Chaya. So if she was Mapel, according to Reb Meir's opinion, if she had a miscarriage and it was Betzuras Behemoth, it's also considered a Yitzira, according to Reb Meir. So the Gemara said, what's the halachic relevance of this idea? That whenever it says Chaya in the Chumash, it includes Behem, or whenever it says Behem, it includes Chaya. The Gemara gave all these nafkiminas. That Behem and Chaya are judged with the same dinim, but you get the Malager Mafis Parsa, and but you get to this din. If you hold like Rabbeinu, you hold like the Rabbanan. But if you hold like Rabbeinu, it's the same. Behem and Chaya are the same. Even on the Chumash, the verb Yitzira only appears in Bereishis in connection with Chaya, never appears in connection with Behem. Tosis learned not like Rashi. Ule Rabbanon, the Rabbanon who just disagreed with Rav Meir, the last line that we just read, so according to the Rabbanon, the whole thing is unnecessary. Even if she gave birth to a Chaya, where it says Yitzira, it's not called a Leida, she won't have Yimei Tumah Yimei Toha. She'll be a Nida probably, when the Uber rips out from the lining, it'll rip out dam. There's always a bucket full of dam. So of course she'll become a nida, but she won't have. It won't depend whether it's a boy or a girl. A boy or a girl is only if you're talking about a leida. Leida is only if it has tzura sodom. Doesn't have tzura sodom, it's not called a leida. So what's the significance of saying that the behem is included in chayel? Gemara says anachanami kula v'kederebi hudiyos. Fine. Okay. This is easy. Rashi on Chumash quotes this idea a few places. Behem is included b'chal chay, chay is included b'chal behem, with those four exceptions to the rule. Also, there's benoy and the chaylev and the kisei adam and the zrael chayim hakeva, the matonis. The next mission is the same topic about balua. Ha'isha shemeis v'lada b'terach me'ah. The woman is pregnant. She goes to the doctor. The doctor says no heartbeat. She's carrying a fetus. The fetus is not alive anymore. Uposh the chaya esyoda. The chaya is the midwife who delivers the baby. So the midwife sticks her hand inside and she touches the fetus. So she touches a dead person. So she should be tameya. If you touch a mace, you should be tummy. So the Mishnah says, you taka tameya. V'nogabo ha-chaya tameya. Tuma shiva. The chaya, just like if you come in contact with a mace. Just like if you attend the funeral, you tell me for 7 days, and you have to have hasala shlishi shvi with paraduma water before you'll be able to go to the mikveh to become tor. So the chaya, the midwife, who stuck her hand inside the rechem, v'noga bo ha-chaya, v'noga bo, and she touched the fetus, the dead fetus, ha-chaya t'mei t'ma shvi shi t'mei. V'ho'isha, what about the woman herself? The mother herself who is pregnant with this dead baby? No, isha t'hera, achi etzev la. The woman herself is t'hera till the baby is born. Why should the woman be tahira? So the Gemara is going to say it doesn't make any sense. How can that be? A mace is matame b'maga u'b'masa u'b'ohel. So the woman has the dead fetus inside. So she's in the same ohel. She's masa. She's walking around. She's carrying the fetus with her wherever she goes. There's no maga. We say maga beis hastarm doesn't count. So the dead fetus is touching the woman inside her rechem. That's maga beis hastarm. That doesn't count. But masa on the beis hastarim is metame. Let's say maga beis hastarim, someone is tame, and I touch him. So if I touch him on the outside, that's mago, I become tame. If I touch him inside, I put my hand in and I touch the inside of his mouth. So maga beis hastarim doesn't count. But what if someone puts in a kazayis men ameis, a kazayis men anevela inside my mouth? So nevela is metame b'mago u'b'masa. So true, there's no maga beis hastarim, but masa beis hastarim is metame. So if it's a sheret, the sheret is only metame b'maga d'shmai n'shratzim that are listed off in the Chumash, the eight rodents but that are dead, they're metame b'maga, not b'masa. So the maga beis hastarim doesn't count, and there is no tumas masa. But if it's nevela, it's meis adam, and you have it in your mouth, it's true, Maga based on storm doesn't count, but Masa will be mitami. So the woman is walking around with the dead baby inside. So let it be Masa based on storm. So what does the Mishnah say she's Torah? So the answer is because it's Balua. Beis HaStorim is the bottom of the nostrils is Beis HaStorim. In the mouth is Beis HaStorim. But the Rechem inside, that's Balua. Like we mentioned, I think, a couple of weeks ago, Rabbi Kevega writes in Yerideya, when a person goes to the mikveh, so they don't have to open up their mouth to have the water go in. They don't have to open up their eyes, or the water should go inside their eyes. Why? You only have to have, Rochet says, Kol B'sar B'mayim, only the outside part of the body. The Beis HaStorim doesn't need the Bias Mayim. But if you have a chatzitza in the Beis HaStorim, then it passes. If you have a chatzitza, you don't have to open your mouth. But if you have a bone caught in between one tooth and the other, people usually are makbid to remove bones because it's annoying. So that's a chatzitza in the Beis HaStorim does passes. So Rabbi Kevega writes, when a person goes to the mikveh to become Torah, so they should clean out the bottom of their nose. What if they have a stuffed nose all the way up on top? So he says, the top of the nose, the top of the nostril inside, that's called balua. So balua, there's no din of chatzitza at all. So that's what the Mishnah says over here. The woman herself is tahira until she knows the fetus stopped, the heartbeat stopped. The fetus inside is dead. So let her become tamei because of masa hameis. She's walking around carrying the mace and the same ohel with the mace. The answer is the mace is balua. The mace is inside the rechem. So balua is kemishena. Doesn't count at all. So why is the chaya pashta the yoda? Why is she tameya? So the Gemara is going to say it's only midirabbanan. In our Torah, it's not tameya. So why is she tameya midirabbanan? If there's a din, so the Gemara says no, because the chaya may not be paying fully attention. Sometimes if yotza rosho, when the baby's head comes out from the rechem, yotza rosho is already called later. Yotza rosho from where? Yotza rosho from the, what do you call it? The shinayim, from the cervix. Yotza Rosha out of the cervix, it could be that the head didn't come out by human beings. We had the Gemara said before, it's different between Behemoth and human beings. By human beings, even outside of the cervix, the head is still covered up. So the Mialetis, the midwife, may not realize that it's already Yotza Rosha. So she may be touching the fetus inside, thinking that it's not yet Yotza Rosha, and it is. She should be Tameh without realizing it. So the Meir Chumim with the Rabbanan, in the ratio of the Mishnah, if the chaya touched the fetus, even if the fetus is all the way inside, it wasn't even Yotzer Rosh HaMichutz L'Shinayim, didn't even come out of the cervix, the chaya is Tamei Amid Rabban, but the Oletus herself will know whether the head came out. So she's going to be Torah unless she'll know that the head came out. So then the Gemara is going to ask, so why do you declare that the chaya is Tamei? Why is the midwife Tamei? The Oletus will tell her that the head didn't come out yet. So the Gemara says that women are usually in such agony when they're giving birth to the babies, she's not going to have the presence of mind to tell the midwife that it's not yet Yotza Rosha. She may not be paying attention to what the midwife is doing. But if you ask her about herself later on, you ask her, was it Yotza Rosha? So she'll think back, no, it wasn't, and she'll know. She'll know that it wasn't Yotza Rosha. The Gemara is going to say that the ratio of the Mishnah that says that the Chaya touched the Uber inside, that she becomes Tamei for 7 days, she needs Azar Shlishi Shvi, is only a Chumer Midirabbanan. When at Torah, she's not Tamei, because it's more than Beis HaStorim, it's Balua. It's Tuma Balua, so Tuma Balua is not Mitamei. So that's how the Gemara starts. Omar Rabbah, Kishem Shetuma Balua Eina Mitamei, just like this is given, just like there is a source in Chumash from somewhere, the Gemara's going to have to give you the source. Just like we have a source in the Torah, that if Tuma Balua Eina Mitamei, let's say the dead fetus inside is Balua and the Rechem, doesn't cause tumor. Kach tara balua. The Morgan Avram's case with the rekech. If the woman Eishes Kain is pregnant, so the baby's inside, the fetus inside, he's tara balua. So tara balua is not mekabel tumor. Kach tara balua ain't a mitama. How do you know the original din that you say just like so too? Just like tumor blue is not mitama, so too. So apparently the more obvious is the original din. The tumor blue is not mitama. Fegmar tumor blue minolan. What is the source in the chumash that you start off with that as if that's given? So the rabbi had this big chiddush, that just like tumah blu is not mitameh, that's a given, so too tara blu is not mekabel tumah. The Gemara is going to say, Rava is going to say later, Rava was a Talmud of Rabbi Virav Yosef. The rabbi is going to say, what did he discover in America? It's often a Mishnah, everything is often a Mishnah is a mikvos. Rava on a basis is going to quote. The Gemara is going to say, no, rabbi added on a chiddush here. That doesn't really say the fairish in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to spell it all out. So the Gemara asks, what's the original din? That din he knows. Tumah blumi nolad. Why is that so much more obvious to Rabbah? That tumah blua doesn't cause the tumah dechsil. Chumash has a din. If a person eats something that's tameh, he wasn't allowed to eat it. It's tameh because it's an nevela. So a nevela is also bachin, and nevela is also metameh when you touch it. So it says if you eat nevela, you touched it before you put it in your mouth. If someone else puts it in my mouth, is it metameh me? It's not metameh b'maga. Inside the mouth is beis hastar, maga beis hastar is not metame, but if it's going to sit in my mouth, it'll be metame mi b'masa. And nivlas behem is metame b'maga u'b'masa. Sheadet sheretz, it's only metame b'maga. But if they put a nevela in my mouth, ve'ez metame b'maga u'b'masa. So let's say I myself am picking up the nevela meat and I put it in my mouth, so I became tummy. So it says, you should go to mikveh and you should be take your begotim in the mikveh also. And then it says that you have higher of shemesh, and then you're allowed to eat truma. So the Gemara raises the question: how are you allowed to eat truma? But he still has the nivlas behema in his stomach, and he's going to eat the truma. The truma is going to land in his stomach and be touching the nivlas behema. So the nivlas behema is going to be mitami the truma. So you're not allowed to be mitami truma. Isn't that a problem? Liloy askinon, the chumash is even covering the following case: docha samach l'shkia sahama. He ate the nivlas behema 5 minutes before the shkia. And then he goes to mikveh, and then he has harav shemesh. You have to go to mikveh. Yeah, well, you always have to have harav shemesh. Say sakuchav mefalim when you go to mikveh. If he became tamei 5 minutes before shkia, and then he has harav shemesh, and then he goes to the mikveh, that doesn't help. You always have to have harav shemesh following going to the mikveh. So the Gemara says the chumash seems to be including a case. The following scenario, Milo Yaskina doesn't also include the following. He ate Nivlas Behema soon before the Shkia, and it didn't have enough time. When you leave food in the stomach long enough, so the enzymes are going to break it down, it's going to become Nivsa Me'achila. When you first swallow the food in your stomach, it's not yet Nivsa Me'achila. It takes a couple of minutes, it takes a while till the enzymes start working on it and then it decomposes. So he says, Milo Yaskina doesn't include. And he went to the mikveh and he had harav shemesh, and then it says he's allowed to eat truma. How can it be? Become rachmana tohar. He say that the person is tohar, he's allowed to eat the truma. But so the Gemara says, how you would permit him to eat truma, but the truma is going to be touching the nivlas behema in his stomach. So the answer is because tuma blua is not metame. He ate a kezayis of nivlas behema, he swallowed it, now it's in his stomach. So tuma blua is kemisheinu. So therefore, it's not metame the truma that is going to eat afterwards. Frag di Gemara, what kind of a raya is that? We have a din that non-kosher food is only treif if it's fit for human consumption. Let's say you have non-kosher food, and let's say you have some treif for salami, you left that out of the refrigerator for a month, and it's rotten, spoiled, awful smelling. And it's not fit for human consumption. So strictly speaking, the pasuk says in Chumash, what do you do with a nevela? It says, "Lagero shavashirachet itnad abachol amochol anochi." Give it to a ger toishav. A ger toishav means a non-Jew who accepted upon himself to observe the seven mitzvahs ben erech, but he didn't accept to observe all the mitzvahs. So he's allowed to eat non-kosher food. So people may not want to. The non-Jewish friends that he had may not be too happy with him because he's a ger toishav. He accepted upon himself to observe the seven mitzvahs ben erech. So they may not want to support him. So we have a mitzvah l'hachyosu. We have a mitzvah we should give him a parnasa. So the Chumash says, give it to the ger toishav. It's a mitzvah l'hachyosu to give him tzedakah. Or mochel anochri, or sell it to a non-Jew. The non-Jew is allowed to eat it. And ger toishav is allowed to eat the nevela. So the Gemara establishes, based on that mashmos of the pasuk, nevela haruya l'ager kruya nevela. Only nevela, non-kosher meat, that's fit for human consumption. If I give it to the ger toishav, he'll eat it. Then it's treif. But if it's so spoiled, they left it out of the refrigerator for a month, and it's not roi l'achila. If a person will eat it, he'll get sick. It smells, it's awful. So it's muta b'achila. Min ha-Torah. Mid the Rabbanan, it's a machloikas, the Rosh and the Ramban, and we're machma like the Rosh. Mid the Rabbanan, we say achshavei. If a person sits and he eats it, he demonstrates that as far as he personally is concerned, it is roi l'achila b'harai. He's sitting and eating it. If you just take a pill, a lot of, let's say you have liver pills. So the liver pills come from nevela. They don't, unless you have it with the hashgacha, okay? But if you don't have with the hashgacha, so it comes, the liver is nevela liver. So it's treif. But it's not roi lachila. The way it is now, it's not roi lachila. So min ha-tarit zicha muta, the Shabbos midirabonim, the Rosh says that you're not allowed to sit and eat the nevela sheni moi lager midirabonim, because achshavei, since he's demonstrating, he's eating it, so as far as he's concerned, it is roi lachila. Min ha-tarit doesn't matter, but midirabonim you're not allowed, and we pass like the Rosh. So most of the contemporary poskim in the recent years, Chazanish, Ramosha, Feinshan, Ramsolvechi, because generally assume Ruba the Ruba of the poskim hold that this achshavei chumra only applies if a guy sits and he eats a whole piece of the whole salami. But if he pops a pill in his mouth, that doesn't show that he holds that it's roi lachila. People all over the world are popping pills in their mouth and no one says that it's edible. No, a pill is a pill for medical purposes. You're taking a pill for nutrition or for your good health. So that you don't say achshavei. The strictly speaking, any treifer pill doesn't need a hechsher. All treifer pills don't need a hechsher unless they have flavoring. If it's a chewable, and then it has flavoring, so you have to check maybe the flavoring is treif. But it does not have flavoring, it's a pill that you just swallow, and if you would leave it on a table, let's say at a wedding, you have candies, you have all kinds of things, everyone's going to see pills, no one's going to, maybe one person will taste it, will see that it's not a sweet, no one else is going to eat it. So that's nipsa machilas adam. So strictly speaking, it's mutam and atar, it's mutam in the rabbanon also. There isn't any actually either. So how come there's so many companies who give hashgachas on the treif pill? What do you need a hashgacha for? The thing is mutam. So mistama, the answer is, the Medrash says that when they put Moshe Rabbeinu in the basket, and Bas Parah went and she found the baby, so Miriam, the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, was watching. She was watching to try to protect her brother, and then she asked Bas Parah, "Ha'elach, should I go get Enisha Menekes Min Ho'ivirus V'Seinik Loches Hayolet? Should I get a Jewish woman to nurse the baby? What does she need? A Jewish woman? There's so many Mitzrayim there." So the Medrash says that they tried to get a non-Jewish woman that he should nurse, and he didn't want to nurse from the Goyisha women. So that's why his sister said, should I try to get a Jewish woman? Why did he want to nurse from the Goyisha women? Because the Goyisha women ate macholos hasuras, they ate non-kosher food. And he's a pesh yosef, a dabrei mashchina, he's going to become Moshe Rabbeinu, the big adoin hanavim. So it's not proper, it would have a negative effect on him. When you eat non-kosher food, it says, v'nitmesim bam, it's metamte mesalev. It has a negative effect, that even if you ate it, b'shoigeg is a negative effect. So Moshe Rabbeinu was going to become such a big Navi, so he intuitively, as a little baby, he didn't want to nurse from the Nosha Mitzvah, so because they ate non-kosher food. The milk, strictly speaking, is the same milk, whether it's from a woman, a Jewish woman who ate kosher food, or from a non-Jewish woman who ate non-kosher food, milk apidin is the same. But since this milk derived from, if you don't eat food, the body doesn't produce the milk. So since the milk from the Nosha Mitzvah came from eating macholos hasuras, so we recommend not to do. So the Raman Shulchan Aruch quotes that from the Hagos Oshri on Maseches Avodah Zarah, that if the mother is not able, Jewish mother is not healthy, she's not up to nursing her own baby, you have to get a non-Jewish woman to nurse the baby. You should try to see to it that the non-Jewish woman should not eat non-kosher food, even though there's no avera for her. I can give her non-kosher food as long as it's mutar b'hanor. It's also b'hanor, so when I give it to her, I'm getting hanor. I'm feeding her a non-kosher, I'm saving money over here. But if I buy ham for her, ham is mutar b'hanor, it's just sasa b'achilo. So I'm allowed to give her a tray for food, there's no litany to give tray for food to a non-Jewish person, but it's not proper to let your baby nurse from a non-Jewish woman whose milk was developed because she ate non-kosher food. So that's what the chumra is. In our generation, some pharmaceutical companies will try to get a hechsher on pills that come from outright treifa stuff, because Amidas Chasidus, strictly speaking, is really mutam. But that's the Ramah quotes that Amidas Chasidus. And you should try not to have kosher food that's derived from non-kosher food. Even though Apidin, it's mutam. So that's what the Gemara discusses over here. So the din is, if you have nevela, is also bachila. So once it becomes nifsal me'achila sodom, it's mutam bachila. What about tumas nevela? What about tumas nevela? Also, once the nevela becomes nifsal me'achila sodom, is no more tumas nevela, or does it have to become nifsal me'achila sakelev? Maybe I should distinguish. Nevela is an avhatuma. So an avhatuma can be metami. There are four categories of things that are mekabel tuma. So maybe there's a difference. Maybe nevelet to serve as an avatumet to be mitami or the mikelim ochel mamashim. Any one of the four, maybe that has to be roy lachila sodom. Maybe once nips lachila sodom, it can no longer be an avatumet. But maybe it's still able, is kozman that it's still not nifsa machila sakelev, maybe it's still metami ochel mamashkin. So the Gemara is going to quote that to machloike samaroy. So what was the issue over here? The person, by mistake, the mezid, b'sheg, whatever, the person handled nevela, he became tamid. Then he swallowed the nevela, it's in his stomach. And he just ate the nevela 5 minutes before the shkia, so didn't have a chance yet, the enzymes didn't decompose it yet. It's still a shtik nevela in his stomach. Shtik nevela in his stomach. But a human being would never want to eat, a person would never want to eat that nevela. If this guy swallowed the nevela, I should, if they cut off my stomach, they're going to tell him, we took the nevela out of his belly, you want to eat it. So a person would not want to eat it. So the stomach, it's nifsal, the Gemara's going to back out from that also. The Gemara said, the stomach is not royal achilas, but the stomach is still royal achilas akelev. The dogs would still eat it. Even we'll tell the dogs, even if we know dog language, we'll tell the dogs that we took this nevela from someone's stomach. If it's not chewed up, he'll be happy, the dog will be happy to eat the nevela. It's still roi lachilas hakelev. So the Gemara was raising the issue, if I swallow the nevela, then I'm going to wait, I'm going to go to mikveh, I'm going to have hayra shemesh, I'm going to eat truma. So the truma is going to be touching the nevela. So you worry about the nevela being mitame ochlim, or mashkim. I'm going to drink wine of truma, I'm going to eat food of truma. So the nevela is in my stomach, it's going to be touching the truma. So how can the chumash allow that? So that's the raya that tumah blue is not metame. That was the marker for the original tumah. The Gemara says, how do you know that it's tumah blue? The fact that he swallowed it's already not roi lachilas adam. But the question is, but probably it's still roi lachilas hakelev. So maybe it still has the ability to be metame ochlem mamashkin. Maybe it's a raya that tumah blue doesn't. Is it a good raya? Is it a good raya? Can you really prove in that pasuk that tumah blue is considered kemisha eno, that it doesn't cause any tumah at all? Maybe the reason why the nivelas beima, my stomach, will not cause the yayin shel truma or the oichlam shel truma to become tumah is not so much because tumah blue is kemisha eno, but rather because it's nifsa machilos adam. Maybe nifsa machilos adam is sufficient to remove the tumah. So the Gemara says, is this a good mocker or not? V'dilma shani hasim dalachazi legir. Maybe the reason why you don't worry about the fact that the nevela is touching the truma in my stomach is because it's not roi lachilas adam. And that's the din minigeh to iser achilas nevela. Maybe that's the same din minigeh to tumas nevela. Ein roi lager. Where they get this ein roi lager? Because the pasuk says, l'sach kol nevela lager shav ashrecha titnat abachal amachal anachri. The Torah says, what do you do if you have a nevela? Sell it to a nachri who's allowed to eat it, or give it to the ger toshav. So we darshan from the pasuk only nevela haruy lager. If it's fit for human consumption, a goy would be prepared to eat it. Then it retains the isa nevela. So maybe the same is true in a ger to tumah. So that's what the Gemara says. How can you prove in that pasuk that tumah b'lu is kemisha eino, and that's why it's not mitame the truma v'dil mishani hosam the lachaz yilager. Maybe once nevs machilo sadam, it's enough to take off the tumah. So this mocker that you derive from this pasuk, this is nicha kointer. Rabbi Yochanan Dama achazu achazu ad lekelev. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, both with respect to the nevela being mitame odom bekelim, and with respect to the nevela being mitame ochlem amashkim, to be mitame odom bekelim, you have to come in contact with an avatuma. To mitame ochlem amashkim, even if it's not an avatuma. So we say it's easier to transmit tuma to ochlem amashkim than to odom bekelim. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, achazu v'achazu, both with respect to being mitami odom mekelim and with respect to being mitami ochlem mamashkim, the shir is ad lekelim. So my stomach still is roi lachilas akelim. If I swallow the nevela in my stomach 5 minutes before shkia, and now it's half an hour later, didn't have a chance to decompose yet, so my stomach is roi lachilas akelim. So shapir, then it's a good mocker, even though the nevela is touching the truma, it's not a problem. Because tumah blue is kemishena, but if you are like Bar Pada de Amar, he says it depends. The nevela, once it's nifsa achilas adam, just like the iser achila goes off, so the avatuma status that it can be metame adam and kelim also goes off, but it still can be metame nochamo. Ela the Bar Pada de Amar tumah hamura leger, in order to be still be considered an avatuma. tamim mitami adam mikelim. So once it's nifsa machilus adam, it's already ois nevela. V'tuma kala ad lekelev. So the more tain is what mishum dalachaz yelegerhu. Nachama, what's the kasha? Oh, the Gemara is not worried about the truma touching. The Gemara is not worried about the truma touching the nevela. The Gemara is talking about let it be mitami the person, the masa. He's walking around with this stuff in his stomach, so maga beis astam doesn't bother me, but masa beis astarim does bother me. But if it's balua, then it doesn't bother me. So that's what the Gemara is asking. I thought the Gemara was asking about the truma is going to be touching the nevela in my stomach, but you see from the Gemara that's not what they're worried about. They're worried the person is walking around with the nevela in his stomach, so it should be mitami him b'masa. So the answer is that tuma b'lua is kemisha'inu, so it's not mitami even b'masa. So the Gemara says, honichal Rabbi Yochanan, you have a good mocker. You have a good mocker because the nevela is still mitami. But if you're like Bar Pada, then the Vela, once the sniffs of Achilas Adam, it's no longer Mitame Adam Mikalim. So that's why it's not Mitame the person now. So the Gemara says, you're wrong. What's the definition of Vela Roel Achilas Adam? So there is a Gemara in the first parak in Bechoris, but the Gemara discusses a Yotzim and a Tame is Tame. Let's say, instead of milking a cow, a kosher cow, we milk a pig. So the pig is a behemoth tamei. So the milk that comes out is also eggs. Eggs that come out from a hen are kosher. Hens are kosher. What if you have eggs from an eagle? So beitz osayif tamei is also us. Yotzim and atamei is tamei. So let's say the Gemara has a shaila. What about mei raglayim shel chamor? Gemara has a sofek. The chamor drinks water, and then it comes out the other end as mei raglayim. So the Gemara has a sofek. Do you say water went in, the water went out? It didn't really change that much. So the Meir Aglam Shel Chamor is not considered Yotzim and Atami. Yotzim and Atami means it developed in the Behema. The pig develops the milk and the eagle develops the eggs. But if, let's say, honey is not, the Gemara says, honey is not developed by the bees. The bees pick up the pollen here and there. They mix it together, then they spit it out. So it's not really developed inside the bees. So the Gemara says, that's why bees' honey is mutter. So the Gemara has a suffix. What about Meir Aglam Shel Chamor? They say, Maya Ayel, Maya Nafik. The Chamor drank the water and then it comes out the other end. It didn't really have that much of an effect. Or you say, no, it is Yotzim and Hatamei Tamei. So the Gemara is not sure about that. So the Meforshim on the Gemara asks, it's not Roel Achil Asadam. What are they talking about? Who's going to drink Meir Aglam Shel Chamor? Who's going to want to drink it? So Shlaim Zalman Arbach said, you see from the Gemara that when you judge whether any given food is Roel Achil Asadam or not, you don't tell them what the whole history is. You don't tell them, here's a bottle of Meir Aglam Shel Chamor, who wants to try it? No one's going to try it. You put it in a bottle on the table at a wedding, you put in ice cubes, and you don't say what it is. You write down that it's ginger ale. Maim Chaim ginger ale. Sometimes it tastes like Meir Aglam. You're not sure what it is. So you don't tell a person what it is. If you tell them what it is, of course they're not going to want to drink it. So that's what Shlaim Zalman said, we shouldn't be so quick the paskan that everything is nistam achilos adam, because we know the whole background. Yeah, psychologically, a person wouldn't want to eat. You're not supposed to tell them the whole history. You just put it on the table and you see. If people will taste it, they're going to spit it out. So that it's awful, then it's called nistam achilos adam. But if you won't tell them what it is, and they'll eat it, so it's not called nistam achilos adam. So that's what the Gemara says, Beferish over here. The Gemara says over here, what are you telling me? When the person swallows the nevela, it's nifsa machilos adam. Who said nifsa machilos adam? You don't tell a guy that Reuven swallowed it and we got it out of his stomach and we're feeding it to you. You wash it off and you give it to him and you see if he's going to eat it. He will eat it. The Gemara says, not nifsa machilos adam. After it sits in the stomach long enough, so the enzymes that come out from the side of the stomach, they're going to break it down, it's going to decompose, and then it's going to be nifsa machilos adam, and after a while it'll be nifsa machilos hakelev also. But if it's just there, he just ate it 5 minutes before the shkia, and then they take it out of his stomach a little bit after it says gechab, and the enzymes didn't have a chance to work on it yet, so the Gemara says it's still right achilos adam. That's what the Gemara says. Nehidu l'chaz yevifonov. True, it's not right achilos adam if the person would be there watching the way the other guy ate it. Now he took it out of his stomach. If he wouldn't be watching, to see what the historical background was. If someone ate it already, despoiled it already, then it is Royal Achilas Adam. So that's what the Gemara says. It is Royal Achilas Adam, and that's the mocker for their din. The mocker in Chumash for the din, that Tuma Blua is Kemisha Eino, it's not Metame, is that Pasuk. And he can go to Mikveh, and then he can eat. After Harav Shemesh, he can eat the Tuma, and there's no problem. Because the Tuma Blua is not Metame.
The truma that he ate, you say it becomes tame. So what? Is there an isa in making something tame in the stomach? Is that the isa?
There is
or
an isa.
That becomes tame.
So Mishmeres trumaisa. There is an isa. You're not allowed to be a tame truma. Yeah.
Even within the belly.
I think so. I think so. Even in the belly. Yeah. Yeah. Mishmeres trumaisa. You have to be careful that it shouldn't become tame. So we've established, based on the pasuk, the first half of what Rabbi said. Rabbi said, just like that's given, so too the next thing. Just like Hashem Shetuma Blua Eina Metamo, it doesn't transmit the Tuma, Kachtar Blua is not Mekabel Tuma. So the Gemara says, Ashkechon Tuma Blua, how do you know Tara Blua, then it's not Mekabel Tuma? There's no pasuk for that. Pasuk only indicates, once the food is swallowed in your stomach, so that's Balua. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the Mishnah is talking about a different balua in the rechem. The fetus is in the rechem of the behemoth or in the rechem of the human being, of the mother. And this is a balua in the stomach. But the Gemara is going to explain, they're all balua. They're all balua. So the Gemara says, but so far you only proof in the pasuk that tuma balua is kimishen. How do you know tara balua is not mekabel tuma? Frag the Gemara, ashkehan tuma balua, that it doesn't go to be metamra, the tara balua minola. How do you know that? So the Gemara, that's a kalvachaymer from the pasuk. What's a kalvachaymer? There is a din of klicheres. If you have wooden kelim, if you have metal kelim, then mekabel tuma. If you have other kelim made from other, let's say you have plastic kelim, so it's not mekabel tuma. The chumash doesn't talk about it. So there's no glass kelim. I only mekabel tuma midrabbanan. They made a chumash midrabbanan. We learned Masechta Shabbos and Gemara. They ended the first pair of quotes that they were. 100 years before the Churban Abayis, around 100 years before Shem and Shetach was Geyser, that glass kelim on Mekabel Tuma. And China dishes on Mekabel Tuma. That's Klicheris on Mekabel Tuma, and they have no Tara B'mikvah. So China, if you have a China Kli, the din is it's can't be Mekabel Tuma from the outside, on Mekabel Tuma from the inside. So it's a Kula. The Klicheris is not Mekabel Tuma Migaba, only Mekabel Tuma Mitocho. But then on the other hand, has a Chumra, that is Mekabel Tuma Me'aviro. If you dangle the dead sheretz, if you hold the dead sheretz by the tail and it's dangling, it didn't touch inside. It's only in the avir of the klicheres. That has a chum, it's Mekabel Tuma Me'aviro. So the chumish says because the klicheres is not Mekabel Tuma from the outside, only from the inside. So let's say there's a room and there's a mace in the room and we have a klicheres. So we visualize as if the mace in the room, as if the tumor crawls all over from the mace, spreads and it goes into the klicheres. So it's mekabel tumor. What if you have a klicheres mukab tzamit pasel, has a lid on it that's tightly closed. It's screwed on tightly. Sometimes you have a pot, a soup pot, and you have a lid on, so the lid is sitting there. You can take it off easily and put it back on. That's not mukab tzamit pasel. Mukab tzamit pasel means that it's tight. So if you have a klicheres that's covered tightly, mukav tzamit pasil, and klicheres have a kabel tumah from the outside. So we visualize if the whole, if there's a mace in the room, we visualize if the tumah's a mace is flying all over, crawling all over the place, but it can't get in because the klicheres is closed and it's not a kabel tumah from the outside. So that's a pasuk in Chumash. Klicheres mukav tzamit pasil is matzil on the tahara inside. The kli doesn't become tumah, and if there's food, ochlam amashkim in the kli also won't become tumah because the tumah can't crawl in. What if you have a kazayis ben ames in a klicheres and a mukah tzamit pasul? So that doesn't prevent it from the tumor from going out. If it's mukah tzamit pasul, it protects it from tumor going in, but it doesn't prevent the tumor from going out because the mace or the kazayis nevela is inside the kli. The kli is mekabel tumor in the inside, so the kli becomes tumor. The tumor goes through and through. The mace is matami ba'ohel. So the Gemara says, you have a kalvachaymer. So Gemara says, what's a kalvachaymer? Four lines from the bottom. Maklicheres the mukav tzamit pasul. Ein amatzel al tumah shebetocho milatamei. If you have kezayis ben ames inside the klicheres mukav tzamit pasul, it doesn't prevent the tumah from going out. Why should it? the Kulcheris says Makabal Tumah on the inside. So the Kli is going to be Makabal Tumah. The Tumah is going to go through and through. Dama Mar, we have a tradition, Tumah Ritzutza because we are La Adla Rakia. There is a din, if you have a mace in a coffin, and there's a Pesach Tefach above the mace, so that's considered a different room, and the Tumah is only in the coffin, the Tumah doesn't go to the rest of the room. But if the coffin is so tight, so low, that you don't have a tefach, pasach tefach, you don't have a tefach, the mace is flat on the bottom of the coffin, let's say. And the lid is so low down, the Gemara says in Brochus, Roy Varon is half a pasach tefach. Most of the time when they make a coffin, you do have a tefach of empty space in between the nose, the mace has its nose up, and the bottom of the lid. You will have a pasach tefach. So when I tell you the Tumah doesn't go out of the coffin, it stays in the coffin. But I mean, the Rabbanon, they were guys there, because miut aroina sometimes will not have a tefach of empty space above. So that's called, if you don't have a tefach, empty space, that's called Tumah Ritzutza. It's like you bury a mace in the ground with no coffin, and you throw the dirt on top of the mace. So the Tumah Sameis goes up. There's nothing to block and nothing to prevent the Tumah from going up. Tumah Sameis is ala ad larakia. Tumah Sameis goes up larakia. So if you have a klicheris mukab tzamit posel, it will ena matzal ala tumah shebetochem elatame. It will not prevent the tumah from going out. Nonetheless, matzal ala tarish shebetochem elatame, it protects if you have oichel mamashkim inside and the klicheris is closed. So the klicheris is not makabel tumah from the outside, so it protects the oichel mamashkim inside, protects the kli. The kli doesn't become tame because it's not makabel tumah on the outside. The oichel mamashkim inside will also not become tame. So you see that it's easier, it's more kal to protect something from becoming tameh than to prevent tumah from going on. So over here, if you have a pasuk that says that tumah blua is kemisha eino, it doesn't transmit the tumah. So it's a kal v'chaymer that a tara blua will not be mekabel tumah, because it's easier to protect things from becoming tameh than to prevent tumah from transmitting. You see the kal v'chaymer from the tzamid pasuk. That's the Gemara's kal v'chaymer. Shouldn't it be a kal v'chaymer? Odom. That's the Gemara's kal v'chaymer. Odom means if you have in my stomach, I have the nevela, or the woman has a baby inside. Shematzal ala tumah shebetochem milatamei. Whatever is in the guf of Odom, either bolua in the stomach or bolua in the rechem, it prevents it from being metame others. Ein adin, shouldn't it be a kavachamah? Din means a kavachamah. Ein adin isn't a kavachamah. Shematza lalatar shebetocha miletame. If you have a tohadika baby inside and a pregnant woman goes to a funeral, so she'll become tame, but the uber will not become tame, because it's a kavachamah that if balua prevents tumah from spreading, so certainly protects the tara from becoming tame. That's the Gemara's kavachamah. You start off with a pasuk in Chumash, that tumah blua is kemisha eino, and then it's a kavachamah, the tar blua should be better. So the Gemara says, what are you making at kavachamah? You're establishing which is kal and which is chama from klicheris. That klicheris mukav tzamid pasil, if you see over there that to protect dava tohor is easier than to prevent tumah from going out. How can you bring any rice? Malik klicheris shekenan emetam and digaba. What are you bringing anything from klicheris? Klicheris has a kula. It's not a kabel tumah on the outside. People are a kabel tumah from the outside. If someone touches me, an Adam tummy touches me on the outside, he makes me tummy. So how can you quote anything from klicheris to make a tushtel to Adam? Adam is machomer than klicheris. Tumah barishem emetam and digaba. Adam is a kabel tumah from the outside. So how can you bring any proof at all from klicheris? Klicheris is more kal than everything. So the Gemara says, that's not a tana. Ota anam migabu karminan, mitochel karminan. We're talking about the food being inside my stomach. We're talking about tocho. We're not talking about migabu. So the Gemara says, it is a good limud. You can learn out from it. It is a good kal v'chaymer from the klicheris. And the Gemara says, adarab, klicheris is more chomer than others. Why she came mitame me'avirum? The Gemara says klicheris is not that it's more kal than other things; it's more chomer than other things. Because if you dangle the kezayis ben ameis inside the avir of the klicheris, even if it doesn't touch the walls, the klicheris is mekabel tumah. And if you dangle a kezayis ben ameis in my mouth, I open my mouth like this; I'm lying flat. If I'm on top of it, so it's metami ba'ohel. Oh, this is also metami ba'ohel. Yeah. I don't know. The Gemara just says mitame me'avira is only a din in klicheris. It doesn't apply to human beings. So you see that klicheris is more chomer than other things. So you should be able to derive. Other am klicheris more chomer, not more kal. First, the Gemara said, how can you learn out from klicheris? The third line, my klicheris, it's more kal because not mitame me'gav. The Gemara says, no, klicheris is more chomer. Shkei mitame me'avira. So the Gemara established so far that if you have balua in the stomach. Balua in the stomach is balua. How do you know balua in the rechem is also balua? So the Gemara is going to continue with more yalfusas. They're going to establish the whole tin. The whole tin is going to be that the dova balua is kamisha ena. Whether it's tuma balua, tar balua, it's not mikav.
Rabbi, if you dangle it in the person's mouth and he's laying down, then he's not
mikav. See, there are three dinim of ohel. One din of oil is the mace over there, and I'm over here. We're both under the same roof. That's called oil hamshacha. The tumah is nimshach. It extends from there to here. Then that's the weaker form of oil. Then the other two forms of oil are there's no roof at all, but I'm leaning over a mace, or I'm sitting minding my own business. There's no roof, and they carry a mace above my body. So if I'm ma'al on the mace is ma'al on me. So that's a machamadika form of oil. So if I'm lying flat on the ground, there's no roofless. I'm lying flat on the ground. They take a kazayis man a mace, they put it in my mouth. Even if they don't put it in my mouth, they put it on top of my body. It's already mitame mi ba'ohel. But let's say it's not a kazayis man a mace. It's a kazayis man a nevela. They have a piece of nevela meat. So nevela is not mitame ba'ohel. Nevela is only mitame b'maga u'b'maso. So by a kli, if you have a kazayis man a nevela, you dangle it inside the kli, even though there was no maga, Avira is metame de klicheres. But if they dangle a kazayis min on the vela, they dangle a dead sheretz in my mouth, sheretz only metame b'maga, then it's not metame mi b'avir. Avir is only by klicheres. So you see, there's a chum nigmar adar avir. Klicheres is mochamer. Klicheres is mochamer in hilchas tuma than odom. That the klicheres, if you dangle a kazayis nevela, or you dangle a sheretz in the abur of the klicheres, it'll become tameh. And by odom, it won't be metameh. So Gemara says it's a good yalfus. If you have a cooler by klicheres, you have a cooler by klicheres that it's matzil on the tara from becoming tameh, even though it doesn't prevent the tumor from transmitting, but it's matzil the tara from becoming tameh. So if you have a mokker and chumash, that balua inside a person prevents the tumor from spreading out. The person swallowed by mistake, he swallowed a nevela. The balua inside the human body prevents the tumor from going out. It certainly prevents the tumor from outside from being transmitted into what's balua inside his stomach. Let's say the guy has a ring in his stomach. He swallowed a ring, and the ring is a kli. So if your Adam tummy touches the ring, so he's metame the ring, but the ring is in his stomach. The ring is my stomach. I go to a funeral, I become tummy. The ring in the stomach does not become tummy. Or I have a fetus inside. So the fetus, I go to a funeral. So the woman, pregnant woman, goes to a funeral. So the fetus does not become tummy. Tar blua is not metame. So Gemara made the kalvachimer from klicheris. Because klicheris has the kula, even though klicheris is more chomer than Adam. Klicheris is mekabel tuma mi'avira. And it still has the kulas that mukav tamid pasul saves it. So by balua, by odom is similar to mukav tzamid pasul.
The other cool is if you touch the outside, nothing happens.
If what?
If you touch klicheres from the outside, it doesn't become tamei. It's also cooler.
Also cooler, yeah.
So you have a tzamid pasul and the elgabo.
Yeah, you have coolers and you have chumris, yeah. You have coolers and chumris. How can you tell which is more chumra? Klicheres has no tarib and mikveh. All other adam and kelim have tarib and mikveh. So that's a chumra. You have chumris and coolers. I don't know.
No,
the Medrash says lo hames mitame v'lo hamikveh mitahir. The whole thing is exeris hakosef. No, there's nothing physical at all. It's exeris hakosef. The Medrash quotes Rav Shimon bar Yochai made that statement. Parshas Chukas. The Talmidim were asking him what's going on. So he says it doesn't correspond to anything in reality. It's just halachas that lo hames mitame v'lo hamayim the mei hamikveh not mitahir. Everything is a chuk. Okay, leaning out of next week, we'll have to continue. So part of these dinim are still relevant. Halacha l'maaseh, by the way. You have to know the tumah blua by the mace, by the pregnant woman. Yeah. When is Rosh Chodesh? on the Sunday. No. So we lay the Haftarah, Machal Chodesh. Instead of the regular Haftarah, we lay Machal Chodesh. Rav Soloveitchik once made a comment. How come when you have Yontif, other Yomim Torah, Machal on Sunday, you could have found some section in Nevi'im to lay in a Haftarah that tomorrow is Pesach, tomorrow is Shavuos, tomorrow is Sukkos, tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah? Why do they only pick a Haftarah from Machal Chodesh? So he said that one of the Birchas Haftarah is Samchenu Shem Lekeinu Be'aliyo Anavi Avdach Malchus Beis David Mishichecho. One of the brachas is HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us Eliyahu HaNavi. According to the tradition, the pasuk says in the end of Malachi, Hinei Anochi Sholech Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi Lefnei Bo Yom Hashem Agor Olah Noir. So we learned, I think, the Gemara in Eruvin. The Gemara in Eruvin says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send Eliyahu HaNavi the day before Mashiach. Lefnei Bo Yom Hashem Agor Olah Noir. Eliyahu HaNavi will appear to the Bezen and he will identify who Mashiach is tomorrow. So the Chachamim wanted to be Mechazik De'emun and Bias HaMashiach. Because they were suffering, the Anshei Knesset Gdolos saw this is going to be terrible times. Maybe it's after the Churban Abayis that they introduced that bracha. So they picked Haftaras. A lot of the Haftaras have to do with the Emunah in Bias HaMashiach and the Gulu Hasida. And they introduced the brachas. Hamcheni Be'al Yorvay Adecha, Malchus Beis David Mishichecha. So he said, we say in the bracha that we say in Kiddush Levana, that Bnei Yisrael are compared to the moon. Just like the moon disappears and it reappears, so too Bnei Yisrael. That's how the Medrash says on the Pasuk, HaChodesh HaZalachem, that Bnei Yisrael count to the, we have a lunar calendar, and the Muslim have a solar calendar. So the solar, in the sun rises and the sun sets, it reaches a peak, then it sets. So this represents the rise and fall of every civilization. Every civilization reaches a peak and then it deteriorates and it disintegrates and they all disappear. Like Mark Twain wrote that the Greeks disappeared and the Egyptians disappeared and the Romans disappeared. Everybody disappeared except for the Jewish people. They never disappear. They keep on remaining. He doesn't understand what the secret is. So that's what the Medrash says. All the Yom Salam count to the sun. The sun reaches a peak and then it sets. It rises and falls and it disappears. And the Bnei Yisrael are compared to the moon, which waxes and wanes, it gets bigger and smaller, disappears, and it reappears and disappears and so on. So the Medrash says that there were 15 generations, the Medrash makes a whole calculation, 15 generations from Avraham Avinu till Shlomo HaMelech. When the Malchus Yisrael began, the Jewish nation began with Avraham Avinu, so there was Avraham, Yitzchak, Yankim, and so on. The Medrash makes a whole calculation, 15 generations till you get to Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, that was the peak. That was the Shalom and Eretz Yisrael, and there was so much. Nobody needed any money, and there was a Beis HaMikdash, and there was peace, and everything was fine. And then there was a deterioration, and then there were 15 generations, just like the moon takes 15 days until it reaches its full moon, then 15 days and it disappears. And then it disappears for 18 hours, the Gemara says, Yud Cheshos, the moon disappears. So there were 15 generations from Shlomo HaMelech till Yoshiyahu, I think. How does the pasuk? Eina Yeshio, they blinded Yoshio HaMelech. I forgot already what the pasuk says. So they blinded him. That represents like the moon disappears. 15 generations, like the 15 days. Eina Tzidkio, either. Yeah, they blinded him. So that represents the end of the Malchus Beis David, but it's not the end. It's going to be just like the moon disappears for 18 hours, then it reappears. So we're aiming for the Malchus Beis David to reappear. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's why they picked Mocha Chodesh. Mocha Chodesh, when did he say Mocha Chodesh? Tomorrow's going to be Rosh Chodesh, means now we're holding in the middle of the 18 hours that the moon is not visible. So now it's a long 18 hours now. It's since the time of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, there's no more Malchus Beis David. And we're waiting, it's a long Geshmat Hesu. It's a long 18 hours over here. We're waiting till Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come, till Mashiach is going to come. And that's the theme of the Haftarah also, that Yonason and David HaMelech were the best of friends. But Yonason knew that he could have taken over the Malchus from his father, Shaul HaMelech was the Melech, but he knew that the Haftarah was only going to be, Malchus Beis David is going to be what we need. The Malchus Shaul is not going to do the trick. So he loved... If Yonason loved David HaMelech and he gave him over the Malchus, why didn't Why didn't he reciprocate? Why didn't David give over the Malchus to Yonis? And the answer is they both knew. They knew from the Novi that the Malchus based David is going to be the Malchus son of Cheres. So that's the whole theme of the Machah Chodesh, the way Yonis is giving over the Malchus to David, because he knows that the Malchus based David is going to be the Malchus son of Cheres. That's going to be the everlasting Malchus. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Maybe that's why. Not because it happens to be it's Erev Rosh Chodesh. They could have found a section in Novi about Erev Pesach, Erev Shavuos, Erev Sukkot, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur also. They only picked this to be Mechazik, the Emunah, in Bias HaMashiach and Bias Eliyahu HaNavi. She Yovah B'Heirev Yameh, should all be Zeicher.